Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to a Christmas installment of the podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. We just prefacing this, we're not going to talk about basketball because we're recording this at like 9:30 on Tuesday morning, the 22nd of December, and there's a game tonight. We don't want this to be dated. We want you guys to be able to listen to it and while you're traveling, doing all that stuff. So that means, too, so last year, Mark Charter, we got some complaints that Adam was swearing on the Christmas podcast. And
people need to just...
Well, you were swearing, and a lot of times, like these holiday podcasts, people will be listening in their vans.
Yeah.
I don't use a van because I'm not a dork.
You'll get one eventually.
Some nerds will be driving their vans with their kids, and they'll be playing it out loud. And last year this happened, and Adam was swearing. And some of the kids on their way to see Nana and Papa for Christmas, they heard Adam swearing.
Did they start crying?
I don't know, but you know, as a protective parent, I wouldn't want my kids hearing a random.
What I've never understood about this swear. About this podcast is maybe I'm the outspoken one, and Chris is the knowledgeable one.
Well,
he's the actual media member, while Gray's just kind of a pretend media member.
But I'm not even pretending.
But Gray gets no heat, and he's the one that drops the swears more than anyone else.
Because I swear in a friendly way, you know.
So the F word is not a big deal as long as it's said in a friendly tone.
Have I said the F word on here?
I don't.
If I'm free to, let me know.
Because then we'd really have to get a parental advisory sticker on
it. It's the S's that you let slide every once in a while.
You know, just, heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid.
Well, you know what, parents? I'm going to try to go the whole show without swearing. And as long as Charter and Williams don't say anything stupid, I think I'll be able to do it.
There's no promises.
Yeah,
there
whatsoever. The chances of Mark and I getting through this next hour and not saying anything stupid are few and far between.
The chances of me making through the next hour without swearing are not good either.
Slim to none. Slim just left town.
If your kids were in here, would you just start swearing up a storm like you do on the podcast?
No. But, you know, every now and then, if, you know, maybe watching an Iowa State game, I might say what the – H-E double hockey stick, or I might say, you know, get your ASS back. Or am I allowed to? Can I spell? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
fair.
You probably better not say F U C what.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't swear in front of my kids very often, if ever.
That's
but
good.
Every now and then I do slip up. I think most people.
My wife swears in front of our kids more than I do.
Yeah.
Like if you know Katie, she's really sweet.
Yeah.
But
she can
curse a blue streak like a sailor. She really can. I don't know where it comes from.
It's probably being married to you.
That's very possible. Speaking of swearing and kids, I do want to give a plug to a local business that you guys need to go check out here, by the way. I went to Backspin, just opened last week.
Oh, yeah.
Indoor golf simulator / bar. We should go do a podcast from Backspin is what we should do.
Are they going to pay us?
Sure, why not? So we got five, six bays that you go into. Good simulator, so you can play Pebble Beach, you can do all this stuff.
Really?
But they've got a bar, so you can, you know, it's a smaller bar, but they serve beer and alcohol. So I went there, the first day it was open. And golf, when you're not playing it well, sometimes elicits some potty words. The problem was there's tables kind of in the back, and there were a bunch of little kids, like with their moms and dads there. So you mix beer and golf, you're going to get some cusses.
Yeah.
The kiddies shouldn't be there. Other than that, it's a
great
business
idea.
They
should have a swear-free nursery.
I don't know. But anyway, we need to go check it out, play some golf this winter. Because it's a good – you just take
your club
and play.
There's no, I'll get destroyed at Pebble Beach. Well, like,
we could play Vinker.
It's not.
Yeah.
Sure
they've got Vinker on there?
I don't know. Probably not. That'd be awesome if it was.
Vinker's really hard.
I know.
It's a very difficult course.
I think you'd be all right. You're just hitting it into a screen. So, you'd be all right.
I would be the guy who thinks the computer is like screwing me though.
You would be.
Come on, like I hit that farther than 125 yards.
That drive went at least 250.
My opinion is it was fairly accurate because as much as I want to think that I drive at 300, I don't.
300.
There were a couple
350.
There were a couple really good golfers there. They were driving it 290, 300. I was driving at like 230, 240-ish. So it's probably fairly accurate.
You know, when you get through a drive, you can put it out there.
On that rare occasion that I get through a drive.
Yeah.
So, no, it's, whatever. But anyway, we should go. That has nothing to do with Christmas. The other thing I was going to bring up last night was Seton had his first exposure to Elf last night.
Oh, boy.
The movie or Elf on the Shelf?
Both. We've got the Elf on the Shelf.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Whose name is Buddy. So,
Buddy the Elf.
Yep. So he has fun scene where Buddy the Elf has shown up each morning. So that's interesting. But the movie, which reminds me of Christmas movies, which reminds me of an invitation that I got to go to a Christmas movie tomorrow, which I don't know if I'm going to do, which is the all-time classic Christmas movie, Die Hard.
Oh, that's a great movie. Every Christmas Eve, I crack open some whiskey and watch Die Hard.
I'll tell you what, Die Hard is a fantastic movie. It's not a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
So
why is it not?
So quantify for me what a Christmas movie is.
It is a movie that is around about...
Because Die Hard is.
No, not about... But it has a Christmas theme in that it's, you know, family getting together or... I mean, like Christmas Vacation, the whole part of the story is the whole family's coming over to the Griswold family and he's trying to make the perfect Christmas, okay. Right? That's a Christmas movie, yeah. Right?
Agreed.
Just like McClane is going to a Christmas party.
No, he's going to try to win his wife back who left him.
Yeah, it's a holiday miracle.
Like 500 people died in that place, all right? There's no holiday miracle there.
Well, I mean, the only reason the terrorist is after him is because it's Christmas.
There's wrapping paper in it. Remember when he straps the guns to his back?
Yeah.
It's held on by wrapping paper and tape.
Yeah.
So there's that. Is there a Santa Claus in that movie somewhere?
It's been a couple years since I've seen it. Usually when I watch it, I'm half in the bag.
You've got...
It's a drunk movie for you?
Yeah. I mean, I love the movie, but I've seen it so many times now. I mean, I don't feel the need to like...
What's the dude's name?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
What's the dude's name that... is the tattletale. He's like in the office.
That little douche.
Yeah, he's doing coke throughout the movie. Coca-Cola, kids. If you're listening, he's drinking Coca-Cola for kids out there.
I'm sorry. I honest to God don't believe any person thinks that's a Christmas movie. I think people say it just to say it. Like, oh, it's kind of funny because it's been this hot topic for 5 years it's a debate on all these shows, on the radio, and on our message boards. But I don't think anybody legitimately believes that that's a Christmas movie.
I believe it's a Christmas movie.
I think people do believe it, including the owners of the Fleur Theater.
If it's
who are showing it tomorrow night during Christmas
season. They know a hell of a lot more about cinema than you do, Adam.
Can Christmas movies be about violence and killing people?
Sure, why not?
So let me ask you this. Have you seen the movie? Have you seen the movie Bad Santa?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a Christmas movie?
Yeah, he's Santa Claus. It's got Santa in the name.
Because that's one of the dirtiest movies ever.
It is.
Which doesn't coincide with your feelings of it's got to be
warm fuzzies.
Warm fuzzies.
Well, okay, maybe
whatever.
Not warm fuzzies, but at least he's Santa Claus. Like, it's around him being Bad Santa. The theme of Die Hard is there's terrorists coming to kill. Massive
Christmas party. There's a lot of Christmas stuff throughout the movie.
The plot of Die Hard involves a big-time theft, right?
Yes.
Bad Santa, the plot is a big-time theft.
As Santa Claus.
On a smaller scale, but they're trying to steal. They're trying to rob from the store.
Yeah.
That's the point of that. I would say that Bad Santa probably has more swear words than Die Hard has.
Absolutely. You want me to make you a sandwich?
Yeah. Kid, what is it with you and sandwiches? That's a great movie. Don't watch it in front of the kids.
We watched Elf on Sunday.
Yeah.
And
that's a classic.
Every time I watch that movie, it gets better, I think.
Do you have some favorite lines from that movie?
Yes. Well, I love when... I think my favorite scene is when... Santa arrives at the toy shop.
And he freaks
he's
out.
He's like, Santa!
Yeah.
And then...
I know him.
And he's just like furious that it's not the real Santa. Which, you know, kids, if you're listening, Santa has little helpers that go around. And
of course.
Yeah. And...
Here's my thing about that.
That whole scene when he's like pulling on his beard and like
tells him he smells like cheese.
Yeah, and then he gets into a fight with him. That's my favorite scene. My favorite line though is your face is so pretty. You could be on a Christmas card to the secretary.
You should try that in real life. See how it goes.
I should.
Yeah,
I should. I should do that today when I walk into Clear Channel. Cause there's that lady who's sitting right. You've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Gail.
Yep. Gail. I like Gail. Sweet. I talk to Gail every now and then.
Sweet gal.
Yeah. I've always liked the line cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Yeah,
that's a great insult to tell someone they're a cotton-headed ninny muggins. That one is, did you guys not, though, it was me, this was, how old is Elf? It's 2005?
Two?
Seven?
No.
Older than that?
Yeah. I'm guessing 2002 or three.
I don't know about you guys, but when I first saw that movie, I fell in love with Jovi.
Is she the singer, the one who's naked in the shower?
Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah. She's nude.
Well, we don't see that. I mean, it's a clean film.
But she's totally naked.
Beautiful voice.
Yeah, but she's naked singing in the shower.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And he's sitting on the sink or whatever and starts joining in.
Yeah.
The look on her face.
The beauty in her in that is when he picks her up for the date.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, she's in real clothes and makeup.
Yeah.
She's not dressed as an elf.
And he takes her out for the world's best cup of coffee.
Oh, God, that's...
She goes, it's a gross cup of coffee. She's like, no, it's the world's best cup of coffee. Oh, it's funny. They need more movies like that, man.
Do you find that with all Will Ferrell movies?
That's another scene, though. When he walks in there and it's all they look like... I mean, it's a bunch of, like, Hispanics in there.
Congratulations.
You need the world's best cup of coffee. Yeah. And they're all like...
you did it. I love it. I love it. Any other Christmas movies jump out that you really, really
Cranks.
Like?
Christmas with the Cranks.
So we watched that.
I read the book, actually. I never saw the movie.
There's a book?
Yeah.
We were trying to find a movie to watch with the kids, and I'm like, oh, Christmas with the Cranks. Tim Allen's good. We'll watch it. It's a terrible movie.
Kids probably loved it.
They actually got up and walked out.
No, I'm pretty sure.
True story. They got up, they were bored with it, and they got up and left.
A lot less respect for your kids now.
I'm pretty sure. I'll have to verify
terrible
this.
Terrible movie.
Christmas with the Cranks, or a variation of that, might have been written by John Grisham.
Really?
Yeah, he took a departure from the lawyer books, if I recall. I'm not 100% on that.
I can't believe you don't like it. Do you
Christmas?
Like it more?
No, I've never seen the movie.
Oh, it's
Do
great.
You guys ever use Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Christmas with the Cranks, 5%. It's a horrible movie.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Horrible.
What is Elf? Feel good
movie.
Can you look up
the
Elf?
The little kid, Spike. In Christmas with the Cranks, Dan Aykroyd's boy. Oh, it's outstanding.
Are you guys on board with? I view it as a Christmas movie.
Elf, 84%.
84%. I like that.
Adam just gave me the sucking sign.
It's a Wonderful Life. Have you guys seen it?
No.
Yes.
Do you like it, Greg?
Yes.
It's a great movie.
Yes, it's a good movie.
I'm sure, it's okay.
If you want to skip that, Chris, and go for the more modern version with the same story. A Family Man starring Nicolas Cage.
Great movie.
Never seen it.
What?
Treat yourself, dude.
How about the Holiday?
The Holiday is really good.
What was that?
Cameron Diaz, Kate Winslet.
No,
these two women like switch homes. Yeah. One goes to Europe, the other comes to LA. United States.
Don't bring these, other than Elf, don't bring these like modern like wannabes. Like I stick with the true classics, Cranks. Christmas Vacation, Elf, Home Alone.
Oh,
please see It's a Wonderful Life.
You need to see it.
You owe it. You have children now. You owe it to them to know what a classic movie is.
Ross and Andrew always make fun of me for not watching movies on our show, and to me, like that would fit in with like because I've never seen. They always make fun of me because I've never seen The Godfather or Braveheart.
There's just certain movies you have to see. Yeah.
Have you at least seen Miracle on 34th Street?
You know, Ashley watches it every from time to time. I usually leave though.
That's a great one.
I'm not interested in it. A little Matilda girl's in it, right?
Yeah, that's the new version.
Yeah, I'm talking about the 1947 version.
Oh, no, I don't watch that crap.
That is one of the best ones of all time.
It's great.
I don't want to watch movies in black and white. I'm sorry.
No, they update it now. It's color now.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the graphics still suck. So.
One of the more, I shouldn't say underrated because most people realize it for its greatness, Love Actually.
So, is that the Mariah Carey movie?
Mariah Carey.
Her song's in it. So a lot of people. So you've never seen that either.
Oh, Christmas. You know, here's the deal with that.
That's horrible. You haven't seen that movie.
I've seen one scene.
Yeah.
And it's when the little kid is playing the drums and he's getting pissed.
Because the chick's not looking
that's
at
the only scene I've seen, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Hugh Grant's in that movie, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's
Love
why
Actually
I've,
is, a,
that's why I've avoided
is
it.
A really, really watchable movie. I like movies like Love Actually where you take five or six different stories. Mm-hmm. And you interconnect them, and they all make sense at the end. The one thing they could have easily done without that kind of takes that movie from being like an A+ to like a B.
Hugh Grant.
No, Hugh Grant's great in that movie, I think. He plays the prime minister.
Avoid all things Hugh Grant all the time.
But what they do in that movie, which could have completely been eliminated and not changed a thing with the movie, is they've got one of the vignettes, one of the stories, is this couple that are stand-ins on a porn set.
Yeah.
And it keeps flashing them. And
wait a second.
Yeah, so basically...
You just scratched me where I itch, Mark.
So they're stand-ins. So they're not the actors, but like as they're setting lighting and whatever, they stand in and kind of mimic what the stars will be doing. And while they're doing this, they're talking to each other. You know, they're just having a regular conversation.
They're building a relationship.
They're building a relationship, but...
While they're on a porn set?
It makes it so there's like needless nudity
yeah.
in the movie. And it's just like... It doesn't fit. Like, you could so – Gray knows this movie well. You could lose that whole story, and the movie would lack nothing.
You're anti-nudity here.
In that case, because that's nudity for nudity's sake. It doesn't drive the story.
There's some minor humor in those scenes, but not enough to where they need to keep it. I agree with you, Charter.
Yeah. When does nudity ever drive the story?
During a sex scene or something.
I mean, why can't love actually
because if
have
you
a
have
sex scene?
If you have a hot sex scene and they're going way out of their way to not show nudity, then in a movie that can feel false because it's like, in real life, these people would be naked, right?
Best sex scene ever.
In this
ever.
Case, it's just nudity to show nudity, which is pointless.
Best sex scene ever. Days of Thunder when Tom Cruise is in bed with his girlfriend.
Never seen it.
Nicole Kidman.
And he's...
Oh, he's showing how drafting works?
Yeah, he's showing her how to draft.
Yeah.
And the cars draft up her leg.
Isn't
her
he
magic,
using like sugar packets
magic place.
For cars?
Yeah.
Like it's like, yeah, sugar packets.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if that doesn't turn you on right now.
We went
drafting.
From a nice friendly Christmas conversation to
sex
the best
scenes,
sex scenes. This is a podcast.
All right, before I get blamed, for the record, I was just saying I didn't like a nudity scene.
Yeah,
so, you know. But Love Actually is a great movie.
If they kick Hugh Grant out of that joint, I'll watch that movie. But until then, I've boycotted all things Hugh Grant years ago.
Did you know, trivia question for you, Gray. You know some actors and actresses. Can you name the only American actress in that movie?
Mariah Carey.
That actually may not be true. There might be more than that.
Well, Keira Knightley's not.
No.
Is Mariah Carey in
After
the movie?
I said that, though, that's probably not true. I heard this question the other day,
yeah.
And the answer is Laura Linney, who plays the sister to the brother with issues. That can't be true, though, because the scene where the Brit, Colin, goes over and meets the three girls at the bar.
Yeah, they're all...
Some of them are American, yeah. So that can't be true.
Like the girl next door's in that, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, okay, so last night... On our Facebook page, some sweet gal.
Yes.
How do we know she's sweet?
Well, I mean, just because, by what she wrote on our page. Okay. Usually it's people just...
Saying you suck.
Yeah, they're
sucks.
Just like, oh, you're terrible. Fred's not going to the Bulls. You're just doing this for clicks.
Yeah.
That type of crap. And this woman, I mean, she brought her A game.
Elise?
Yes, Elise.
This is fantastic.
I would like to give Elise a hug right now.
I would. So I sent this to all the... contributors to the Fawcast and to Cyclone Fanatic, and everyone was a big fan of this. You want me to go ahead and read this here?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. This is fantastic.
So, attention, Fawcast, Cyclone Fanatic. I think you should put on a production of an ISU Christmas Carol with you each playing the following roles. Charter, obviously, is Scrooge.
Obviously.
I like how she said obviously.
Obviously.
Too.
I mean, yeah. there's no question about it.
Yep.
Can get very down and grumpy about ISU, but after a dramatic evening, great game, coaching change, can have a change of heart. Also, he enjoys talking about money and does part with his wealth for the greater good.
Yep.
Nailed it.
That seems pretty accurate of Marcus here.
I mean, I might just start calling you Scrooge from now on. I mean, I think that's...
What's the difference between Scrooge and the Grinch?
The Grinch, like, steals presents and stuff, doesn't he? He tries to end Christmas.
I've never seen the Grinch either. I just know that Jim Carrey
played
it.
The Grinch is, anti-Christmas, anti-fun, anti-everything. Scrooge is just a penny pincher. At first, in the movie.
Yeah.
You're not a penny pincher.
No, I mean...
No one's ever accused Charter
of Scrooge's amassed wealth and mine would obviously mimic each other.
Speaking of that, your advertising rate goes up 30% next year.
Yeah, I bet. So I
gave him a deal, 25.
But let's focus on the Scrooge at the end of the movie, who is a wonderful person.
Yeah.
And has had a change of heart and treats others well.
So you're like 75, you're going to become nice?
I think I'm nice when I need to be.
Well, I think you are too.
Yeah.
So I sent this to Charter last night. I texted to him. He replies back right away. I will take it. Scrooge is the man, rich as F! Exclamation point. Classic Charter response.
Yep.
I laughed.
Yep.
That's good stuff.
Williams, you are Timothy Cratchit.
Who is that? Like in the movie?
I don't remember.
He is Bob. Bob Cratchit works for Scrooge, and Scrooge will not give Bob Cratchit. Any time off for Christmas at all. He's like, you got to work. I need money, blah, blah, blah. Timothy, I believe, is Bob's son.
Okay.
Is that Tiny Tim?
Nope. Tiny Tim's...
It might be Tiny Tim, though. I don't know if she's confusing it or what, because I don't
maybe,
think there's...
Maybe she's thinking of Bob Cratchit. Maybe she... I don't know. Or maybe you're wrong.
So read her,
I'm going to go with the
leaves
over Charter.
Read her description here.
Okay, Chris. Timothy Cratchit remains positive despite terrible circumstances. I think we all know what that means.
Yeah.
But also remains grounded in reality. Eventually, Timothy is rewarded for his long suffering.
So that's Bob.
God willing.
That's Bob, because Bob is told, no, you can't leave. You have to keep working. And he has a good attitude about it. And then at the end of the movie, when Scrooge has had his change of heart, he rewards Bob. So I think she's talking about Bob.
Is she predicting an Iowa State national championship some point?
But I want to know how long this suffering lasts.
Because, for real, I told my dad this. I'll never forget it. When the Vikings lost to New Orleans, the Favre game, I said to my dad afterwards, I was crushed. Unlike any feeling I've ever had in my life. And I told my dad, they will never win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. It will never happen. And I still firmly believe that today.
I still firmly believe the reason they lost is because you didn't come over to my house and watch it. After we went and watched them beat up on the Cowboys the week before in Minnesota.
Special memory, though. I did get to watch that game with my grandma, who didn't live much longer. Oh. And she was cursing up a storm during that game at the refs. Anywho. And I don't believe Iowa State ever will either in my lifetime. I would like to think that I need some more faith, but I'm just a little bit jaded at this point.
Well, I still think 2 years ago was the year when they had Kane and Edge, and then Niang broke his foot. I think that was the year for them to win the national championship.
Yeah, I agree.
Agreed.
I mean, if Kevin Ollie and that UConn team could do it.
Yeah, we were better than that team.
Yes.
We were better than that team. That team should have lost to St. Joe's in the first round. They were down like 8 with like 2 minutes to go.
You guys need to quit talking about basketball. You promised you wouldn't.
So. Well,
we're not talking about relevant.
All right, so I'm Scrooge. Chris is Bob.
Yes.
She's describing Bob. That's Bob Cratchit.
That was my grandpa's name.
Bob.
I am
Bob Williams. It's a great name.
I'm Scrooge's nephew, Fred.
Okay.
Which I think is fitting because you're, my uncle. Yeah.
Yeah. More like your daddy.
Because you're old. You're old. I'm trying to make a joke. You're old.
Yeah.
An eternal optimist and is trying and at times succeeding to save Scrooge from himself when he's in his dark mental emotional state.
I don't need your help, Fred. Back off.
I think sometimes the text I get from you sometimes says otherwise. I feel like sometimes I need to talk you off the ledge.
Like what? Yeah, Mark, what am I texting you?
Mark is one of the more – I have a friend who listens to our podcast a lot. His name's Ryan. Not the one a different one.
Yeah.
And he's a lot – you guys remind me so much of each other when you're watching games.
Yeah.
Because I'll get messages from each of you that are just so over the top emotional.
Yeah.
And it just cracks me up. I mean,
that's kind of what makes a fan.
There's
a fan,
there's 12 minutes to go in the first quarter. Fire everybody!
The key is though, you don't see me typically carrying that on a week after the game. In the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you should have some emotion about the game.
Absolutely.
If you don't, then that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I don't apologize for anything.
I'm not saying you need to apologize. I think
Christmas is canceled.
I think it's hilarious.
All right. What do we got?
All right. Who else do we have?
Jared Stansbury should be Tiny Tim. Too young to know that the highs don't come as often as or last as long as we'd like.
Jared, you just got called
there is a lot
naive
of truth
and
to that.
Stupid.
A lot of truth to that. Rob Gray, the ghost of eyes who's passed. He's wise.
Grizzled veteran Rob.
He is. Brent Bloom, the ghost of ISU present. He's also wise. That's debatable, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it's debatable.
You're going to come at Bloom
I'm a little mad at Bloom because Bloom gave me some terrible advice yesterday when it comes to the sports world. And I took him for his word. And
You're a degenerate.
I look for Bloom sometimes because I did think he was wise. I no longer think
Have you seen that DraftKings commercial that's been on 100 times? Edward Norton voices it, and he's like, ask your Uncle Vito if you want to. And he's like asking the guy for advice, and Vito's giving him the nod. That's Bloom, dude. Bloom is Uncle Vito. You go to him for your degenerate
not anymore.
Advice.
I will say this, and I say it knowing that his ego will grow even more. Bloom is a top 5 smartest people I know. Just in all areas. It used to drive me nuts in college. We took all the same classes because we had the same majors.
I'm trying to think. Now, you say this, and I'm thinking back immediately to Sy's House of Trivia. Was he knocking stuff out that night?
Yeah, he was great.
Was he?
Yeah. Right. It drove me nuts because if, for instance, we took all the same political science and journalism classes because that's what we were in, and he would, if we had a big test coming up, I would study 5-6 hours because I have to.
Yeah.
I'm not just naturally, I have to work for it. Bloom, he'd just show up and he'd still get, if I would get a B, he would get an A.
Some people are like that.
He'd maybe study 20 minutes. If even if that.
My brother's like that.
Oh, it drove me nuts.
He did just study, but my brother got basically a 4.0 in college. It's like I almost flunked out my first semester of college. Didn't try.
Partying too
hard. My first semester was just my worst semester.
Just didn't care.
Well, in Europe, they make you take all these classes that you have no interest in, like geology 101, and like, you know what I mean?
No, I was at Northwestern College, and I cared about football, and I cared about track, and I cared about girls, and did not care about school at all.
Dude, girls,
I think I got a 1.25.
Northwestern's like a Christian school, right?
Yeah, I wasn't.
Are the girls frisky there?
I wasn't. There's plenty of frisky ones, yeah, but I was not a good fit. I should point out that I was with my wife still at the time. We were dating, but that doesn't mean that I was still not interested in every girl at that
point. You're sniffing around.
I was a stupid 18-year-old, you know? That's what you do.
Does Katie know this, or are you breaking
some news? Yeah, are we breaking news around
the podcast? She's aware that I was a moron. So okay. Yeah,
you were a moron.
I'm less of one now. But
I think all three of us are morons.
So yeah,
frankly,
in some way,
I'm lucky. Yeah. I'm lucky that I got a degree from good old Iowa State. So yeah.
All right. Eventually. All right, let's move on.
And then Kirk Holland, the ghost of ISU future. Stats don't usually lie, and he loves to make predictions.
This is true.
I
think Elise knocked it out of the park.
She really did.
She left out Jeff Woody and Austin Narber.
Both irrelevant.
Yeah, other than screwing up the character names, great job,
guys.
Elise.
Kidding, guys.
That's kind of rude.
I'm kidding.
Cool.
Yeah.
So should probably get to bowl conversation and some picks.
We need to do picks. Well, Charter wants us to do all 15 of these picks here real quick and run down them.
That's fine. I have no fear.
Because Charter's right now, he's down 7 games to me.
Let's just get these on record. I don't think we need to talk a crap load about it. We can make our picks and then how about you tell us your favorite Christmas memory after that?
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll have to think about
that. That way people will keep listening past this part to get to the good stuff.
I agree with you. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but we do need to spend just a little bit of time updating the standings just so people are aware of where the standings
are. No, we really
don't.
We can skip that, too.
So
you're at first. I'm 3 back, and Charter is like 40 back.
7 back, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, okay. There we go. First game, we got Pittsburgh versus Navy. Navy's 3.5-point favorite. Wrong team's favorite there, Chris.
Yeah, I want Pittsburgh. The service academies really struggle in bowl games historically. Pittsburgh is they got better. I like Narduzzi. Give me Pittsburgh in. I'm going to take +3.5. Absolutely. All day.
I would take the money line in that one.
I would too.
Because
wrong team's favorite. I agree.
Yeah. Give Narduzzi a month to prepare for them with that defense.
Absolutely.
I disagree with you guys.
Oh, good.
Because I'm a proud American. I'm going with Navy.
That's a good line.
Hey, yeah.
I can't argue with that.
Okay. That's the perfect route to go there is just to accuse us of not being American.
Yeah. Good take.
That's something you would normally do. Yeah. Yeah.
That is. It's right out of my playbook. I think that's why I appreciated it so much. Yep. All right, Adam. Who do you like? UCLA is a 6.5-point favorite over the Scurs.
Give me UCLA. Scurs, I don't know, 5-7. Are they excited to be in this bowl game? I don't know. Give me UCLA.
I'm going to agree with you on that one. Nebraska can suck it. UCLA.
I'm going to take UCLA as well, and that's going against my Huskers.
Yeah, that's the first time all year I think you've not picked the Huskers to cover. I bet you the day of the game you'll put out a tweet. I've changed my mind. I'm going all in on the Huskers. That's what you did against Michigan State. And you were right on that one.
You know what happened with that Michigan State prediction? Was I was at the bar. It was after a basketball game. And it was a couple other writers and I and then Jared Stansbury. And he's a Nebraska fan. And we were just kind of talking through the game. And something came to me at about 11 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're going to win this game.
I was in Vegas. I was not happy with the ending of that game, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I dig. Yeah. I dig. I could see if this was 7.5, I'd probably take Nebraska.
Okay.
But that half point, I'm not going to screw.
Agreed.
I'm going to take North Carolina to beat Baylor outright. Baylor's a 2.5-point favorite there. Down to a third-string quarterback, they've got Shaq Winwood's out. Corey Coleman's out. Give me North Carolina.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer for me. It's such a bummer to see Baylor playing at the end of the year like this because
they're a much better team.
I firmly believe that's a Final Four team if they're fully healthy.
I agree with you, Adam.
So I'll take North Carolina, though.
Mark?
I like this matchup of Southern teams, Grasshopper. Give me the Tar Heels. I just felt like doing.
You did good, Charlie.
I just like saying Grasshopper.
Texas Tech, LSU. LSU is a 7.5 or a 7-point favorite, gentlemen. Mark, you go first.
I agreed. Adam had a good take on this a few weeks back when he said Leonard Fournette's going to run for 1 million yards in this game. And he will, but I think Texas Tech just has enough chuckability in them to keep it within 7.
I actually like that word, chuckability.
Yeah, Texas Tech in this one.
I'll go anti-AU just because a lot of times those timing spread offenses, if you give a good defense a month to prepare for it, and I think LSU has a good defense, their offense is a little bit less than it's not exactly desirable. We did see Texas Tech beat Arkansas early in the year, so it's a fairly comparable game. But I'll take LSU in the 7.
Yeah, actually, I had Texas Tech circle, but I just changed it to LSU.
You just did that because you're trying because you don't want me to gain games on you.
No, yeah, I'm really worried about you.
You should be.
I think Fournette runs. I just trust LSU more, I guess, when it comes down to it. I think Fournette can run for 280 yards. And at first, I was worried about Texas Tech, what they were able to do to Arkansas. I was afraid they might be able to do the same thing to LSU, but yeah. LSU's just got better players in the secondary, so what happened?
Yeah, and that game was in September. I mean, so much is different.
Yeah, but LSU's gone the wrong way since then.
Yeah, no, that's true. This is one of my favorite picks in all of bowl season right here, and if I were playing it, I would tease it down to 2.5, but I really like USC over Wisconsin, like heavy. I think that now that they've got their coach, that was a popular hire in Clay Helton. Their personnel is just better. Wisconsin is, if you've watched them much, they have benefited from a soft schedule. I mean, they had an Iowa type schedule this year, made probably easier than Iowa's, frankly. So give me USC, and I like that pick a lot.
I'll agree, USC. I look at Wisconsin. I see the Wisconsin that scored, 6 against Iowa. They're not going to keep up.
USC has a good defense.
They're not keeping up with them at all. USC, I think, rolls in this game.
You guys, it's like you guys forget what Wisconsin does every year in bowl games. Every year in bowl games, you're supposed to get smoked, and every year in bowl games, they come out and they win.
They've never had Paul Chryst as their head coach either.
I'll take Wisconsin.
Ooh,
that's good. An automatic game I get back.
I hear Barry Alvarez is actually coming back to coach that game.
I'm sure he wants to.
All right, boys, this is a tough one to pick, I think. Houston versus Florida State. Florida State is a 7-point favorite.
These are your second, third favorite teams in college football.
This is. It's a tough game for me. It's brutal.
This is one of these games on paper where you say, oh, man, that's got to be Florida State because Houston, who the heck is Houston? But Houston's actually pretty good. I'm going to take Houston to keep it close. I think Florida State could win it, but within 7. I like that.
I don't know. Frankly, I think Florida State's personnel is a lot better. Houston's been, it's like the biggest game in modern day Houston football history. Tom Herman has that program rolling. Man, I really don't know. This is a total toss up to me. So if that's the case, I will, I'll tell you, I haven't taken many underdogs. Give me Houston to cover, I guess.
I like Florida State. I think, Ward for Houston, he makes, their offense go by running. I don't think they'll be able to run against Florida State. I think they got too much speed.
Florida State's defense is legit.
And Dalvin Cook will run for 180 yards. And they cover. And they win by 14.
Yeah, that's a strong take. I really don't have a good feel on that one.
Tough game. 7 points is a hard spread, too.
That's brutal. I like Michigan State a lot at 9.5 against Alabama in game 2 of the playoff. What do you guys think?
I agree with you, unfortunately. I need to catch you, so I don't want to agree with you on games. But Bama is good, obviously, but I think Michigan State can stay close.
Yeah, their defense is good enough to, I think, just maintain a one-dimensional Alabama team. I think this – actually, of all the bowl games, to me, that spread was one of the more eyebrow-raising ones.
Roll Tide. They win big. They're pissed off about what happened last year in the first round. And he's got to get healthy fast because, let's be honest, he was horrible against Iowa.
He's
got a month, but, I mean, it's a throwing shoulder still. I mean, I don't know. Playing against Alabama, you got to make sure that you're 100% in there. I think this is a game where Alabama needs to make a statement. I think they roll big.
Defensive front sevens in that game are ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what I'm anxious to watch. This is a difficult spread, I think, for the other playoff game, guys. Oklahoma at 3.5 against Clemson. I haven't been high on Clemson all year. I think Oklahoma is clearly the better team. I don't like the 3.5, though.
I am going to go with Oklahoma. I think they win convincingly, and that's maybe only 10 points or more, but Oklahoma's, I think they're a lot better. Yeah, Clemson's for real, but Oklahoma's better.
I'm with you, Mark. If I have to take one, I'll take Oklahoma, but I just don't like that. I don't like the extra point, you know?
So you got Clemson the points.
No, I'm taking Oklahoma. I don't have a good feel either way. Yeah, I think Oklahoma's a better team.
I hate this game. The fact that everyone's saying that Oklahoma's a better team and their favorite here actually scares me. I'll take Clemson in the points. I don't know. Oklahoma just seems like whenever people are starting to think that they're back or
is
where they just lay an egg.
Don't quite trust the Stoops program yet.
I actually think Clemson will win that game.
All right, Gray, you go Tennessee, 8.5-point favorites over Northwestern.
Tennessee's talented, man. That's a team that could have won 11 games this year if they could have finished off games.
Yep.
I think they win big.
I do, too. That's my confidence points. That was one of my top five.
Yeah.
So I got Tennessee, too.
I'm on the other side, Northwestern. I don't know. They're a grimy team. They figure out a way to keep most games close or win them. So I think they probably lose again, but by a touchdown or less.
What does grimy team mean?
Yeah, you know, they get their jerseys dirty, man. Okay. They're just in the slop a lot. Grimy.
A lot of people think this is the most intriguing bowl game. It's just because it's a couple of brands, and that's really the only reason. But Notre Dame, Ohio State, and the Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State's a 6.5-point favorite. Who wants to go?
I'll take Ohio State in that. All year I haven't felt like Notre Dame has been quite as good as people thought they were. So Ohio State is talented, and it's just a touchdown. Going with the Buckeyes.
Man, I have a hard time with this game because I think you're right about Notre Dame, but I feel like Notre Dame's going to want to be there and actually win more than Ohio State will. I think Ohio State's got a bunch of egotistical punks who are already have one foot out the door to the National Football League. My gut really is telling me to go with Notre Dame. My brain tells me don't screw with the 6.5 is what my brain tells me. But Ohio State ended the season well with Michigan. I'll take them reluctantly.
Yeah, the Ohio State, all year they expect to be in the championship game. People had penciled them in after their first game against Virginia Tech. ESPN's showing out. You know, they're going to be double-digit favorites in every game going forward. How bad do they want to be there?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't either.
But I'll take them anyway.
Yeah, I just
– good take, huh?
No, I think we all have the same feeling on that. That's a difficult game. Notre Dame should be healthier.
They should be. And let's be honest, Brian Kelly's a fantastic coach. I mean, he's a really, really good
He had a great coaching matchup there.
Yeah, that's a good game.
I like Stanford at 6.5 over Iowa in the Rose Bowl.
Unfortunately, I do too. And I only say unfortunately because I'm trying to catch Chris, and I think we only have like one game difference right now, or maybe two. But I'll take Stanford as well.
I think Stanford wins, but I'll take Iowa in the points. Their defense, they're a good enough team to keep this close.
That's an intriguing game just because – It's like strength versus strength.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like Iowa's defense versus Stanford's offense. Who wins out? I don't know.
Mississippi Okie State.
Oh, I'm going to go with my Rebels.
I am too.
My fourth favorite team.
I'm going with your Rebels on that one.
I got me some Mississippi gear when I was down in Oxford.
Ole Miss is a team that if their defensive end doesn't fall out of a – building because he was smoking marijuana. What was his name? Namdichi or whatever?
Yeah.
If he doesn't do that and they don't get hurt this year too, I think this is a team at this point in the year could have been a top four team too. They are playing really good football.
Their quarterback's fantastic.
Kelly's good. They rolled big in that game.
Yeah, and frankly, let's be honest too, Oklahoma State's been overrated all year. They just have. They were never a legitimate playoff contender. And I think too, motivation factor, Mississippi got killed in their bowl game a year ago. Kansas State versus Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl. Arkansas is an 11.5-point favorite.
According to you, Bill Snyder's done.
Yeah, he is. Stick a fork in him. Yeah. He's on his way out.
I don't care. I'm taking the Vampire. That's a lot of points to stack up against Vampire blood.
Give me Arkansas by 2 touchdowns. I'll take the Razorbacks.
I'll take Kansas State.
It's hard to go against Bill.
Yeah. That's a lot of
guys,
points.
I mean, the Bill Snyder thing, like, I get it, and I love the guy as much as everybody else.
He went 6-6 this year with no quarterback.
You do not have respect for Vampire Blood, is what it comes down to, and you should.
Fluke win over Iowa State. He beat Kansas. A crappy non-conference schedule. I mean, come on. What are you giving him credit for? What did he do?
Yeah. almost beat TCU, almost beat Oklahoma State, and he won beat West Virginia.
So we're living in a world of almost. We're almost count now. Huh?
He writes handwritten notes.
They'll win 9 games.
Got to give him credit for that.
No, this is great news for Iowa State that Snyder's selfishly sticking around.
You're crazy. There's cool. Nothing good about that.
No, this is great news.
Bring Rod Pratt
because he's going to continue to just the program. They're always going to be good under Snyder. I get it, but it's going to slowly deteriorate, and then when the next guy takes over, it's going to be completely garbage.
So you're thinking garbage. You think he's going to go Joe Paterno on?
Yes.
Yep.
That's exactly what I think is going to happen.
Was Joe Paterno ever as good of
minus
a coach?
The scandal?
Was he ever as Joe Paterno ever as good of an ex? Like, I mean, they brought players in there at Penn State.
Don't you dare get into X's and O's on our Christmas podcast.
All right, I'm sorry.
I like TCU over Oregon.
I like Oregon over TCU.
Okay.
I like TCU, and that's the best game of all bowl season, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Last game.
Another
West
pick.
Virginia, Arizona State. I'll take the Sun Devils.
Yeah, that I mean, it's a pick for a reason. I think Arizona State's underachieved all year, and I think West Virginia's probably better than most people think. Shoot. I'll probably take Arizona State. I'm just going to go with it because I just I think they're better than people think. Give me them. Pac-12's better, too.
Gray.
I'll take West Virginia.
All right. Well, I think Chris and I have at least 3 different ones. So
yeah, it's at least going to be interesting.
I have a lot of different ones than you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you guys could potentially make a run.
Creep yeah. up. It's possible.
We should put together some sort of like spreadsheet to
hand him over to me, write your name on it.
I did.
Charter doodled all over his.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Is that a is that Saturn?
That was an
a couple other
Saturn.
Really oh. quick bowl takes. My favorite take of the year. In the bowl season, and bowl season's always crazy. We know this. Washington State at 2.5 over Miami. Lock that. ACC sucks. Pac-12's better.
Washington State.
You've got a Miami team where they're always sketchy in bowl games because yeah. you never know if they want to be there.
Yeah.
They don't really have a coach yet.
Where's the game being
Total
played?
Total turmoil. I don't even know.
Well, that matters.
Well, look it up. I got my computer's rolling on the
– It matters somewhat. Yes, I agree.
Look that up real quick.
Okay. Because before you give –
Look
betting
up.
Advice to our podcast.
Look it
listener.
Up.
I'm looking it up. Just chill.
I've looked it up before, but I don't know off the top of my head.
I pull up ESPN here, and they got the Bulls shaky start going on the front page of ESPN.
What do you mean a shaky start?
Well, I mean, you know, all the turmoil going on there because Jimmy Butler's running his mouth.
Oh, the Bulls.
Yeah.
The
okay.
Bulls, sorry, yeah. I thought you were talking about Bulls. B-O-
yeah.
W-L-S.
All right, so what game are we talking about here?
Miami. Washington State, Miami.
When is that game being played? Okay, that game is at Hyundai Sun. It's in Texas, El Paso, Texas.
Yeah, that's Pac-12 country.
Nothing says Pac-12 like El Paso. Yeah.
And I also like Georgia at 6.5 over Penn State. This is how I'm going about this bowl season. One, the ACC sucks.
Yes.
Two, the top of the Big Ten is really good, but the middle to bottom is all awful.
Yep.
I mean, it's the worst league in college football once you get past the top.
What you need to look at the Penn State game, or Georgia, I mean, they don't have a coach, right?
Correct.
Here's what you need to look at. How's their front four on defense? Because Penn State can't block anybody.
No, they can't block anybody. And they've got – all I know is they've got SEC defensive linemen. They're going to – I really like them in that one. Hmm. Mississippi State at -5 over NC State. Again, the ACC sucks.
I do like that. And Dak Prescott's awesome.
Correct.
That kid's legit.
The one game, a sneaky, really good game is Auburn-Memphis. Auburn, a 2.5-point favorite.
Wrong team's favorite in that one.
Well, I kind of agreed, Adam, because it's like, man, Memphis is going to be jacked up.
Yep, but Fuentes is gone, right?
Correct. He's on his way to Virginia, too.
That's what's hard about these bowl games. I mean, how you go through half of them, the coaches
Dude,
are
last
gone.
Year, we all took it on the chin in bowl season, I remember.
Yeah, bowl season was tough.
I mean, we all were terrible last
yep.
year.
Yep, I agree.
All right, boys. have a Merry Christmas.
Over this cold, man.
God, quit coughing into the microphone.
I pulled it back, man. I tried.
You guys have big plans for Christmas?
No. I'm going to be in Ames on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and then going down to the –
Shidley D?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You having a little party at the Shidley D?
No. Well.
Greg, can you compile a list, by the way, for 2016?
Of things that we
of
need
all
to do.
The stuff we have to do. We have to golf. We have to go to the Shidley D. We have to shoot baskets. We have to kick field goals. We have to eat hot dogs.
Why kick field goals? Where did that come from?
We were talking about 30-yard field goals.
He thought he could make like 8 out of 10.
70% yeah. for 30 yards.
Can you get somebody like an offensive lineman and I'll try and block them?
if I kick them off your face, absolutely. So, yeah, we need a list, and we need to start knocking some stuff
out.
I'm
a fiend coming off the corner.
We'll just have Woody be the blocker. You try to get around Woody.
I can get past Woody. I'm quicker than he is. We all saw him play.
Christmas Day. You know what I want to do for Christmas Day?
I'm going to watch the Bulls.
I want to go to the theater and watch Point Break. I probably won't, but I'd want to.
I'm going to hope that my daughter takes – I'm going to pray that my daughter takes a long nap.
Point Break looks pretty good.
I'm going to sit in my basement and drink Shiner Cheer all day.
Shinerbach Cheer?
Oh, my God. It's so good.
It's funny you said about the long nap because we're supposed to be staying – every night, every Christmas Eve we stay at my family's house. We all spend the night together, which is like 20 of us now.
Yeah.
And my wife hates it because the kids never sleep very good. Now, Olivia being 3 months old, it could be a long night.
Yeah.
So she's already dreading this.
See, we kind of have the same problem because Cameron will not sleep unless it's in her bed.
Yeah.
And okay. we'll be at the in-laws on Christmas Eve, and she won't. Every time we're at the in-laws, she doesn't.
In that regard, I am Scrooge. Right. Kate's parents live in Ames, and Kate multiple times has said, and I live in Ankeny, so it's not far, 25 minutes or so. But she's like, it'd be fun if we just spent the night. I'm like, no. My bed is 25 minutes away. I mean, if you want to get up early and go, that's fine. But I just don't like spending the night at the in-laws house. That
you know,
seems pointless to me.
I think that random, like, just spontaneous things are the most fun things we can do in life. And I had one of those last year on Christmas Eve. So unfortunately, my wife's grandfather was having a surgery on Christmas Eve last year. And so we were waiting for my in-laws, my mother and father-in-law, to get back to Ames so we could go to church and do our thing. Well, my hopefully future brother-in-law, if he would actually pop the question, Justin and I, have you ever been to Thumbs?
In Ames, yeah. Yeah.
We just randomly went to Thumbs.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, some of the characters at Thumbs on Christmas Eve at
good
about
times.
7 o'clock. We had one of the most fun nights I can ever remember.
Usually people are in a good mood.
Yeah, it was great.
That time of year. That's what stinks about places like Ankeny. We don't have a Thumbs. We don't have a place like that.
See, that's why you moved to Bondurant. You got to go head on over to Founders.
I could say it's a fairly safe assumption. I'll never live in Bondo. But, you know, I'm happy to come visit you there.
We don't want your type.
My type. Gray's type. Gray's about to move into a new fancy house.
Yeah. What are we – what's the date today?
A week from today. Just missed Christmas.
Are you nervous?
Am I nervous? No, I don't think – no. I'm anxious.
Well, I know, but the first night in a house, I mean, you don't know. It could be haunted. It could have
– I don't know if a new house is
haunted. How is a new structure haunted?
Oh, because a lot of times the – you know
– there's no such thing as haunted
ghosts. The
new
construction whoops up the spirits. When you dig,
they come out of the wood. Indian bones below the house.
Yes.
You know, speaking of, I sent emails to both of you asking for help moving.
I
didn't get a response from either of you.
You're moving in the middle of the week. I have to work.
Oh. But for the record,
let's be honest.
For the record,
what are you going to be doing?
What day is it?
Tuesday, the 29th.
Yes, I have to work.
At Christmas. Hey, at Christmas,
I have a 3-hour radio show to do. And Iowa State has a game the next day on the 30th.
I've heard your guys' radio show. There's no preparing for that.
Stop.
I do not recall an email from you.
I got it, and I can't.
But you're using my truck, right?
Yeah.
You go.
That's good enough?
Yeah. I bought the truck, so there you go.
All right.
Absolutely.
People don't care about this anymore. Gentlemen,
with friends like you guys, I'll tell you.
Well, I mean, schedule to move on a time when I can do it.
I got to be in before the 31st.
Well, that's your problem.
I give the guy a free moving truck, and he's saying with friends like me.
Yeah. Jeez. All right. See you guys.
Merry Christmas, Gray.
Enjoy your trips home, and tell everybody we love you.
Merry Christmas.
Later.